And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatchers from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are, and this is what we do, and we're glad you could join us down here. It is officially fall. I think this is our first fall episode as we've begun in October, and I'm sure everybody out there is super excited because Halloween's coming up, and they can dress up like the people they really want to be. But listen, posers, we're going to fucking help you become a better person all episode. So don't just wait till fucking end of October to become a good person. We're going to get you there super quick here in the beginning of October. We do have a special guest here talking with us on Dispatches today. Sean Refuse. What's up, Sean?
Hey, man. What's going on?
How you doing, dude?
Good, good. Yourself?
I'm terrible, but no one wants to hear that. That's fine. We're going to keep it positive here at the beginning
it's
of the
fall.
Episode.
You can be a better person.
Yeah, well, we're gonna get there by the end of the episode, but I'm starting off shitty. Like, that's where I got to start off to get there, you know?
Yeah, you can't be good if you don't have something bad.
Yeah, exactly. Something to grow on, you know, one to grow on. It's your birthday coming up, actually.
Yeah, October 6th, big 4-0.
The big 4-0, double digits. Oh, wait, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, so Sean is here because his band, Refuse Resist from Boston, is doing their 10-year anniversary show in Boston. And my band, All Torn Up, is going to be playing that show with them with a bunch of incredible bands that we're going to talk about all episode. We're going to play a bunch of songs from all the bands playing on that show. But Sean's here talking about the 10-year anniversary, but it's also your 40th year anniversary.
Yeah, my 40th anniversary of being alive.
Is your family coming to the 10-year anniversary show to celebrate your 40th anniversary?
Well, probably not, because most of them live outside of Massachusetts now.
Oh, okay.
That's why in that song, Still in Massachusetts, says most of my friends and family have moved on with their lives.
I thought that might have been a metaphor. But
No, it's actually true.
It's just literal truth.
Yep, my dad couldn't take the winter. It's like, I actually put that in there. We couldn't.
That's funny. They don't live in Florida, do they?
No. Okay, South Carolina.
Okay, that's actually ironically better than Florida, even though we've had our recent spats. But the thing about the racism in South Carolina and North Carolina is it's like people don't want to tolerate it, so they battle against it. But in Florida, no one gives a fuck. We just wait for hurricanes to blow those motherfuckers away.
Yeah, but, you know...
No offense, Florida.
I actually talked to somebody from Florida once when I was in college, and it was a long time ago. And he said something to me that I actually was like, he's like, at least down there, they're honest about it. You know, like, he was a black guy, and he's like, you know, at least down there, I know somebody's going to hate me. Up here, you know, sometimes they try to hide it, and it's like, oh, because everything's cool, blah blah blah, but then behind the back, you know.
Oh, that's true. I guess if you're in that situation and you see someone have a swastika on their forehead, you know to turn around and walk the other way. But, you know, if it's like hidden in their pocket, then you don't really know. But at the same time, I don't really want to look at it either. I don't know. That's a tough situation. But I guess if you're in Florida, you kind of already know where the fucking crackers are coming from. The crackers and the gator. I don't know who's more dangerous, but probably the hurricanes. Anyway, fuck Florida. Unless you're listening to this, then you're obviously like, you know, cool. I think we have some fans down there.
My friend Mia down there. I have a huge, like... I would say they're like family down in Miami. You know?
Oh, Miami, like, doesn't count as Florida.
I know.
Get out of here.
It's Florida South.
Yeah, no, Miami. Miami is northern Cuba. Fucking, that doesn't count as Florida, dude. Yeah. Miami's another fucking autonomous zone. I'm talking about fucking everywhere else in Florida. You know who you are, and we are talking shit about you. Whatever. Listen, we're going to be talking this episode about the Refuse Resist show in Boston. We will not mention another word about Florida. In fact, the rest of the episode, we're only going to talk shit about New York City and Boston. That's it. So you can feel better about yourself, Southerners. We're going to talk about the Refuse Resist show, the trials and tribulations of putting that on, and then we're going to spin over and hopefully get a little bit of perspective on ourselves. This is the second part of the episode, is where we're going to help you grow as a person and to whatever you want to be. I don't know what you want to be. I don't know how much we're really going to help. But we're going to talk a ton of shit about our own bands and the trials and tribulations of being the ringleaders in these bands and how hard that is and how much gray hair gives us. And
shit's fun, yo.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least shit talking is. That's going to be fun. We're going to do a lot of that. So, yeah, that's the episode. Yeah. Sean, where can people go before we start the episode? Where can people go and find some of your music? Because I'm sure they want to get Refuse Resist stuff. Is there where can they go the best?
Well, I mean, you can stream everything that I've done on Spotify. We've got everything there. There's Refuse Resist, Done With You, Zero Rights, all that stuff is on there. As far as like downloading shit, Bandcamp, I think you can download the Zero Rights stuff for free. It's Bandcamp/Zero Rights. The Refuse Resist stuff is put out by labels, so unfortunately you got to buy that shit, unfortunately.
Oh, that's how it goes.
But,
good.
You know, it's life. So Spotify, listen to all that shit for free.
Cool. And just want to shout out real quick before we move on. I want to say thank you to Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com, who airs Dispatch from the Underground every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. Big shout out to everybody over there. They have incredible programming. So if you dig this show, you probably will dig other shows at Real Punk Radio. And we always will have it up there and on our website, dispatchfromtheunderground.com. You can listen to all of our shows for free. Make sure you subscribe. There's a merch section and a donate section if that is your inclination. Otherwise, you know, just keep listening for free and let's fucking get to it.
Let's do it.
So we're going to talk Sean Refuse from Refuse Resist and a myriad of other bands that we're going to talk about the band, the anniversary, not the reunion, the anniversary. And then we're going to talk a ton of shit about our own bands all episode. And we're going to listen to some tunes. So,
yeah, music. It's good.
Yeah. Here it comes. Get down. All right. Before we get to the discussion, let's take a break and let's listen to a tune from Refuse Resist. Sean, what do you want to listen to?
Hey, seeing how our anniversary is on a Sunday matinee, let's just play that one.
All right, this is Sunday Matinee by Refuse Resist from Boston. Get down.
Wicked hardcore, dude.
This wicked hardcore right at you. Get down. How would that go? How would Get Down go? How would that be in Bostonian?
Get down.
Oh, fuck. Get down. Sean, what's up, dude? How's it going?
Woo.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the excitement that all singers have when we first start doing things in front of microphones that aren't actually singing. So there you go, everybody. Yeah, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
That's actually not true. He's lying to the microphone right now because he just was on a 12-hour bus ride from fucking Boston, which is not 12 hours away. How long did it take you to get here from Boston?
No, no. When I said that I had 12 hours of commuting, it was including yesterday. It was, you know, it was 5 hours there, you know, 5 hours back.
It's still like 5 hours from city to city, but then like you get to the city and then you got to transit in the
city.
Another
hour.
Yeah, there's another one, and then you got to do the same thing back in Brooklyn. So people don't want to hear this shit, but what's the
trials and tribulations? Well, now that I live in Babylon, I have to deal with the whole Long Island Railroad too.
You're now a new, yeah, you're a new Long Islander, dude.
Strong Island, right?
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
So far, so good. I mean, we haven't left the house, so it's good.
We're not going to talk shit about your neighborhood, you know, in case they're listening. I'm not really sure that people in your neighborhood listen to dispatches, so maybe
I don't know.
This is
we're
a safe space.
We're actually very close to, what was that called? Sinclair. So,
Yeah,
okay. It's pretty close.
So you're in the punk hub of Long Island.
I guess so.
Yeah, I think so. I guess that's if there's a punk hub, that's it.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm neighbors with the guys in Two Men Advantage. So
oh,
that's
really?
Cool. Yeah.
Yo, you should start a fucking band with those dudes, dude.
They have bands.
No, they play like four times a year. Come on.
No, I'm saying they all have.
Oh, they have. Too Many Voices. You were the guys in Too Many Voices or something like that.
Yeah, Too Many Voices. And okay. I think Mark's in something else, the bass player. But I know he used to be in The Great Lie, but he's not doing that anymore.
All right, let's talk about your business. Let's not talk about Two Man. We could spend all episode talking about Two Man Advantage and Long Island Punk. We're not going to do that shit. Let's talk about Refuse Resist, because there was an organization called Refuse and Resist. I always fuck it up. Refuse Resist.
Yeah, we all stole it from Sepultura. So.
Oh, really? I wasn't going to ask that. Refuse Resist. What's going on, dude? The 10 year anniversary up.
Yeah,
this year.
10 years. We're excited about it. It's you know, we started in 2007 and. Couple kids in a garage, and then me, the old guy. That they were like, "Wait, what's this dude doing?" So yeah, we're excited about it. 10 years.
You know, I remember Refuse Resist back 10 years ago. I begged to play Refuse Resist shows. I begged for All Torn Up to play Refuse Resist shows, and you're just like, "No, I don't think so. It's not gonna happen, dude."
It had nothing to do with that. It was probably.
We were terrible, actually, so it was a really good call on your front. But
nah.
I think that one of the few bands that I remember reaching out to that I liked, that I'm like, yo, let's play some shows. One of the few bands that actually hollered back every time I hollered at you guys. So
yeah,
I
was a promoter up there, so like I wanted to hear new music all the time, and I probably liked you guys. And a lot of the Refuse Resist shows that we did were just always pre-booked. So once we had a show and then people saying, hey, you want to get on it? And it's like, well, the thing's been booked before we published it, so we can't really do anything about it.
So why doing the big anniversary show? I mean, obviously, everyone wants to hear Refuse Resist. We want to hear them all the time. Why not just do the band all the time?
Well, I'm down here. They're up there.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, they're also doing Loser Circle, so, and I was doing Zero Rights at the time, you know, so, you know, it's not something that we can do on a regular basis because it cost me, you know, probably like $50 each time going up and down for public transportation to practice. It's just not, you know, feasible to do all that often.
And do you feel like you could tour, like, do longer tours with like still being in this different cities? Like after this, what about just like All Torn Up, Refuse Resist, North America tour 2018?
I would do it in a second. It's getting the other guys to do it because, you know, everybody, life happens and they have a hard time committing to time. I mean, that's part of the reason why, you know, when I moved down to New York, we didn't keep it going was because, you know, life happens and we weren't able to do tours. And if you can't do tours, you can't sustain. So that's why we just do these like couple one-off shows a year.
Party down.
Have fun. Keep it going. We're actually writing a couple new songs. So like not just like we're not just a cover band of ourselves anymore.
No one would be upset about that, but that's fine if you want to do some new tunes also.
Yeah.
Are you going to release them?
You know, probably not for a bit because we have to actually write enough to do a release. Yeah. But for the shows, I think we're going to have one or two in there.
Nice. When you're writing for, I mean, you've been in so many bands. When you're writing for other bands as opposed to Refuse Resist, do you have different themes and stuff that you're going for? Or is there like stuff that you feel like the Boston punk crowd is expecting or like that sound that you feel like lyrically? Like, is there something that you do when you write for that as opposed to other bands?
Not really. I am who I am. Like, yeah. I just write my stuff, and whatever band I can actually play with, I'm excited about. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. we're not a thematic band. Yeah. Like, we'll talk about politics if politics are happening. We'll talk about, you know, life in general. I mean, we have a song called Dead End when I was just stuck in a dead end job. You know, like, it's just where I am at the moment. You know, that's what I write about, because I write about what I know, not what I try to pretend I know about. So
yeah. So like when you guys are writing tunes, look, other than lyrically, right? So stylistically, when you're writing songs, is there a driving force for who's writing the tunes? Like, are you all just kind of get in the room and just hammer out a couple riffs and then bam, there's a tune?
Well, for Refuse Resist, which is a little bit different than most of the other bands, is we kind of write the choruses first. And
like all great punk songs, that's how it begins.
And once you get something that's got like a great hook, then we can write the verses to fill it out, that kind of thing. I know, like with Zero Rights, it was kind of the opposite. It was everybody would write the music and then I would throw words on top of it. You know what I mean? Where Refuse Resist, I think the reason why it's a little bit more catchy is because we write the, you know, words and music kind of at the same time. So I'll come in and be like, here's a really good chorus and I'll sing it. And then Mike will throw some guitar down underneath it.
Oh shit. Like that.
John is like an amazing drummer. So like they have a symbiotic relationship. Like they don't even have to tell each other when they're going to change. Like turn and stuff. And then, Jamie, the bass player, is just really good at picking up what they're putting down. So that just kind of organically happens.
Do you think that's more like, is that a Boston thing? I don't know a ton of Boston bands. I'm not going to lie. Boston is not my wheel well or whatever the fuck that word is. It's not what I know a lot. You know, obviously Opposition Rising, Neighborhood Shit, and a bunch of other, you know, Disaster Strikes, people we're friends with, the political music I know a little bit better. But like there is this element of a Boston sound, you know, not like, It's catchy punk. It's like, it's really catchy punk. That shit is not New York. New York will do the opposite, I feel like, you know. But LA does too. I guess that's why they say this is Boston, not LA or whatever. But I feel like Boston and LA always have this really hook heavy, catchy sound. Am I wrong here or what?
You think it's expected? Even Opposition Rising, you brought them up, like, their shit's catchy.
Heavy as fuck and still really catchy.
Yeah. I mean, I guarantee, like, I haven't talked to Bill about it, but I guarantee that he's like, okay, this is the phrase that I'm going to say 15 times in the song. Now write something around it. Mm. And they just have it chaotic and hard as fuck. And they just, you know, it sounds awesome because it's catchy, but it's also going to destroy you. You know what I mean? They have a really good formula, you know, the way that they do stuff.
Does it frustrate you seeing bands like All Torn Up and New York City bands who are playing maybe some catchy guitar riffs or doing some catchy things, but nothing like Boston? Like nothing that's like in the realm of what a Boston crowd's expecting when they see a band?
Nah. I mean, I'm all about diversity. Like I want to hear different shit. If I wanted to hear the same thing all the time, I wouldn't have moved, you know?
Yeah, I'd just be at a Dropkick Murphy show for the rest of my life. No offense to Dropkick Murphys, but you know, that's the sound, you know.
Nah, I mean, I wouldn't say that the Boston sound is them. I know they're the definitive band, but
no, but I still do think, I don't think that they're, you know, the Dropkick Murphys sound is the sound of Boston, because there's so many incredible bands that come out of Boston. But I do think Dropkick Murphys do something that all the other great bands from Boston do, which is this catchy, like crowd friendly music that's really written for crowds.
Yeah.
And I don't think that happens. You know, you look at bands like Born Against or like, you know, New York City bands, they're writing for art reasons or like weird sound reasons. But I feel like all the great Boston bands, they're really like meant to be played in front of a crowd. And if you're not singing along to it, it's like not really a Boston tune.
Well, and I mean, to be honest, I think that's why the Boston crowds are more interactive. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Because you get down in the crowd, you hold the mic out and have them sing along. It's about, you know, that building of the community rather than like, hey, look at me, I'm up on stage and I'm yelling something to you.
Yeah.
And whether you pick it up doesn't really matter because I'm getting my stuff out. You know what I mean? Like there's a little bit different of a mentality when you're trying to write something for the people and not for yourself.
And it's not like this is one-to-one. Obviously, there are, I mean, when you listen to H2O, you're not thinking like, oh, this is a Boston band, right? That's a fucking New York City hardcore band.
Totally.
But they're doing catchy stuff. And obviously, there's, you know, Agnostic Front. All these other bands have catchy songs that everyone sings along to. But I still feel like when you listen to Boston bands, I mean, I could run down lists in my head, but like, they're just like hook heavy, you know, super crowd oriented tunes. You know, there's no pretentiousness. Not to say New York is all pretentiousness. I don't think New York City hardcore is pretentious.
There's plenty of pretentiousness in Boston, I can tell you that.
but I do think there is more, you know, boots on the ground type shit, and maybe that happens too in a lot of New York hardcore, but it's a little bit of a different world, I think. So it's interesting to hear that you write songs like that. I never thought about why it is that way. Why Boston tunes are like this.
Maybe yeah, I mean, for me, I always want to have fun up on stage, and I want people to sing along and, you know, do something, you know, jump around, whatever. And the bands that I always listened to growing up, I would always remember the chorus, but I wouldn't necessarily remember much of the verse.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And as long as the chorus is saying something that means something and you can get behind it and, you know, raise your fist and sing along.
Yeah,
you know, that's what I love.
Yeah.
That's what I try to write in all the bands that I'm in. I feel like, you know, if the chorus isn't catchy, then it's going to be like, okay, well, I'll just wait for the next song. Because they all start to blend together mm-hmm. when they all sound the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that's true. I mean, I not up on stage thinking I want to have fun, but, you know, I'm thinking things when I'm on stage. So there's something going on. And I love the crowd interaction. I don't think people should be musicians if they don't love the crowd interactions. You know, it's just like, be a visual artist. Just like have your thing in a gallery where people can see it and then you could step away. But music is meant to be a crowd interactive thing.
I love galleries that have the barricades, and you're like, yeah. No, you got to stand 50 feet away from it. Like when you're looking at the Mona Lisa, that's like going to see like H2O or something.
Yeah. In fact,
you got the barricade. You can't actually, you want to interact, but you can't.
Yeah. You can't interact. And in fact, we're going to instill a new rule. Don't look directly at it. Only side glares, please. Okay.
Yes.
No fucking direct observations. All right. Let's talk about this Brooklyn. I already fucked up.
That's all right.
This Boston show. It is October 15th. It's at Midway, right?
Yep, Midway. Sunday matinee.
It's a matinee. It's Boston style. It's a great club. It's a fucking super fun place. Talk about crowd interaction. There's bound to be some of the Midway. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the lineup?
So Cry Havoc's going to open it up. They're one of my favorite bands.
Super fun Connecticut band.
Yeah. The Neighborhood Shit, who is just like a staple of Boston. Those guys, Terry and... Why I blanked for a second there.
Everybody in that band's fucking blast. I love their sound too. I really feel like they have, again, a catchy but crusty, like really fucking really cool crusty sound, almost pushing like a D-beat thing.
Yeah.
I think they have a great sound. I love those guys.
Yeah, no, and they've been around forever, and their whole thing that they've done with OL up there is mm-hmm. just like, you know, I want to...
OL's Original Locals.
Original Locals. Yeah. You know, they used to have house shows all the time and everything else. Like, they're the type of people that can keep a community thriving because they're part of it and they want to be in it. And, you know, so they were actually the first Boston band that I asked to be on it because nice. Of that. And then we've got you guys.
All Torn Up's playing.
Yep, All Torn Up. And then Disaster Strikes and then Refuse Resist.
It's a fucking phenomenal bill of just incredible, like, northeastern bands, because Cry Havoc's not, they're from Connecticut, so they're not Boston.
Yeah.
And we feel really lucky to be from out of town, to be invited to play, so thank you so much for having us on there. It's super, super nice.
Of course.
Nice.
Yeah, whenever Refuse Resist plays, we try to not have it be the same thing over and over again, and... The last couple shows that we did were awesome, but they were kind of the same band. So we really wanted to get back to like our Rodent Popsicle days of, you know, get back to like the more aggressive punk rather than, you know, some of the more street punk, bar punk stuff. Like, we love it. It's fun and stuff, but you know, think about it right now with Trump being in there. Yeah. There's a lot of shit to be said. So let's go out there and say it.
Yeah, let's bring all torn up along here to fucking rile it up the right way, the left way. Yeah, no, it's going to be a really fucking great show. All those bands are fantastic. I cannot fucking wait for that show. It's going to be an absolute blast. And especially Refuse Resist, 10-year anniversary. Super excited to see you all in Boston. The 10-year anniversary. Is there anything like special for the show that you're just like most excited about? Like, is there a song that you're like, oh, you know what? I just can't wait to play this again 10 years later after we wrote it? Or
well, I mean, one of my favorite songs right now, and it's actually hits close because Steve's mom just passed away too, is the song What Is Right. I know it's one of our more catchy songs, but I wrote it when my grandmother passed away, and that is definitely like my favorite all-time Refuse Resist song. And, you know, it's going to mean even more now because Steve's mom was incredible, and we can dedicate that to her because it's all about being influenced by the people that are around you and figuring out what your value systems are and like what's right, you know. When to stand, when to fight, you know.
There it is. All right, so October 15th, matinee. Get there early because it's probably going to be pretty packed. Who knows how if you're going to be able to get there late, you might not get in. I don't know what the capacity is there.
Yeah, Midway is a small capacity. We wanted to go with the bigger place, but we wanted it to be all ages as well. Yeah. So, it starts at 3 p.m. First band is at 3:30. It's not punk rock time. We'll actually get this thing real, started dude. Because we've got five bands playing on it. So,
and there is a Long Island show too. So people should, honestly, for me, no offense, Long Island, I feel like seeing y'all in Boston is going to be pretty incredible experience. People can come and ride with All Torn Up if you guys want to ride. We're going to Albany first, but we'll be doing the Boston thing. We'll be back Monday night. By Monday morning. So fucking come with us. But I think...
on tour with All Torn Up.
Yeah, two shows. Not much of a tour, but seeing you in Boston is the way to go. But if somebody really wants to see you and they're in New York and they can't, for some reason, get to Boston, like they're hooked up to a ventilator and aren't allowed to like travel with it or something... Where do they see you in Long Island?
Yeah, well, October 21st is Two Man Advantage's 20th anniversary, and we're lucky enough to be on there. And so it's our 10-year, their 20th. It's going to be at Amityville Music Hall, and there's just so many bands on it. Outlive Death is on it, The Daycare Swindlers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool, from fucking D.C. area.
Yeah, because they're doing a split. And it's both of their 20th anniversary.
Oh shit.
Yeah, wow. It's gonna be an awesome show.
God, those guys must have started those bands when they were babies, dude. Those guys are still pretty young. Jeez, okay.
Yeah. And there's a few other bands. I don't have a list in front of me, but those were the ones that stood out that nice. I was like, can't wait to be part of this show.
Cool. Well, I mean, if you want to flake out and go to Long Island, that's fine, do that thing. But make sure you fucking get to Boston October 15th, and we'll see y'all there. So let's fucking we're not done though. We're gonna talk a little bit about Sean's other bands and Trials and Tribulations in a second. All right, get down. All right, since we talked about it on the segment, we're going to get to it right now. Sean, what do you want to listen to right now?
Yeah, let's play What Is Right
by Refuse Resist from Boston. Get down.
We'll be right back.
So, Sean, we're going to trail away from Refuse to Resist now. We're going to talk about bands because you have been in a lot of bands in general. You've been in a lot of bands. I've been in a lot of bands. And people out there ask me all the time, like, oh, what's it like being in so many bands? Or what's it like doing this, you know, musically? And I'm like, listen, let me tell you what it's like. And Sean and I are going to tell you what it's like being in multiple bands. What does Liz say about it?
Oh, it's herding kittens. You know, that's what you got to do.
That's pretty much what it's like. It's like you're in a marriage with four people you hate.
And love.
And hate. And you never have or want to have any sex with any of these people. But
it's... Oh, no, I've had a couple cute guys in my band.
Maybe. Yeah, Steve Morton was in Zero Right, so I feel like maybe that one.
And I mean, the guys in Done With You are all pretty, so okay. You know, it's, you know.
Okay, well then maybe I don't really know what it's like being in bands. And I don't know. Maybe I'm in the wrong cruise here. Yeah, I mean, it's like I wanted to commiserate with you as the fellow herder of cats, as Liz would say, and talk about, you know, let people know what it's really like being the ringleader here, because we're the ringleaders. When we're in these bands, we're both the ringleaders of these bands. I don't think anybody in any of my bands would disagree with that. To my face, they wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean,
behind my back, they would.
It's kind of built in. You got to have the one person with motivation in the band that will keep it going. You know, you've got to have the person that wants to book the shows and do the merch and, you know, get everybody to the show on time.
Get everybody to come to the show in the first place. Yeah.
And that's the band members. That's not even like the...
yeah, for sure. And it's a mess. It's a flipping mess. I mean, we've been lucky because we're in bands and have been in bands with mostly with people we actually care about. I'm not going to speak entirely for you, but I think that's mostly true.
I would say definitely. And if I didn't care about them at the time, I definitely grew to love them.
But we, you know, so we've been really lucky, and we've been in bands with relatively, given the punk spectrum, relatively functional adults. Although I'll say Filthy Phil, maybe I'll put him onto the side of that. I don't know where he falls in the functionality element. But, you know, we've been in bands with people who, you know, don't have any serious mental problems. They're not fucking, they're not like on parole for stabbing anybody. You know, actually, maybe they wouldn't say that about, but
I was going to say, I've definitely had people in bands that were mentally unstable and out on parole. So
yeah. Okay. All right. Maybe let's, how can we characterize? I'm doing a terrible job of explaining this.
I mean, we're in punk bands. You're going to have some of that.
Yeah, but I don't think people understand or appreciate, and I get people asking me this a lot about what's it like. They don't understand how the non-musical side of things is so challenging. The relationships are so challenging. Even when you're in bands with people you do love and you care about very, very much, it's still very challenging. Just like a marriage, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and there's the people that are completely hands off, and it's like, well, what do you bring to the band? As long as you're like crazy talented in the, you know, the instrument that you play, then that's awesome. You're contributing that way. But like, there's always got to be a level of contribution. Otherwise, it's not part of like a working, you know, relationship, you know, because that's what it is when it comes down to it. You're in a relationship with all these people and everybody's got to do something. Otherwise, somebody's going to feel slighted because that's the way humans work, is you're gonna feel like, oh shit, that guy's not doing something, he's not pulling his weight, or this guy's not doing something, or I'm putting all the money up and you know, I'm doing this or that. You know, it's you got to do it for the love of it at the end of the day, because there's so much stress that comes along with it, and if you let the stress take over everything else, then that's when they, you know, fall apart, because it's at the end of the day, you're in a relationship with four other dudes that have very strong personalities, and it's got to be give and take. If second, it's like draw a line in the sand, like this is the way it's got to be, then, you know, that makes it very easy for them to say, okay, the door's right there, I'm leaving.
You're a better person than me, Sean, because I draw a lot of lines in the sand, and I guess that's also why I have a lot of people being like, all right, I'm done with Joey. But I think the relationship element is so underrated. Like, younger folks who are getting in bands and they don't appreciate this, they're in for a world of pain in the realization. I also think that, you know, this like rule that some people have about not dating musicians is in some ways really off, because I think that if you're a functional musician and you're in a functional band and you've been in so for a long time, you're really good at communication. Like, you're really good at being communicative with other people. And that to me is the most important thing about being in a band with someone at this point. Like, okay, we can grow together, we can learn together, we can try different things out. As long as you are confident about your ability to make music and you are willing to be extremely communicative, the rest of it can be all sorted out, you know. But if you can't communicate, you can't be in a band with someone. You can't do it.
Yeah, well, that's probably why mine all fall apart.
Why? Why?
I don't know. There's just like this weird thing about like the communication part of things. It's like, you know, when you start to get bandmates that like kind of ghost you and just don't like, you say, hey, can you practice this day? And it's like no answer. And then it's a day before that day. It's like, hey, are we practicing? It's like, no, because we don't have a monthly space and now everything's booked. We can't practice. Like, what are you talking about? That's why we asked you last week, you know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of that kind of thing that just happens, you know, like, yeah, we're all adults, but, you know, we're also all punk rockers too. So there's some immaturity in all of us as well. And figuring out how to get past those hurdles are, you know, some of the bigger things.
How hard do you push when you're in that situation, Sean, and you're like, you know, where someone's ghosting some shit and they're not being upfront or they're not responsive? Non-responsiveness is the issue a lot of bands will fail to, because people will just like have a lot of expectations, maybe privilege, whatever, and feeling that they will have someone else take care of things. So there becomes a moment in every band where someone feels like someone else is going to deal with something else.
Yeah.
And then someone's like ends up holding the bag, and that's Sean or me in a lot of cases. how aggressive do you get in confronting your band? I go to 11 every time, so obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I've actually dialed back, and I think that was not a good thing necessarily.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because with...
This isn't helpful to me. That's
No.
Making
but I'm
my
saying,
bandmates really more angry.
No, I'm saying, though, like with Refuse Resist, it was kind of like, this is what we're doing, and they would show up and do it type of thing. And everybody was able to contribute. If they didn't want to do something, obviously we wouldn't do it type of thing. But it was more set up as like, here it is. And then I guess with the New York bands, because I was a little bit less confident in the sense that, you know, I'm in a different place and I was a little bit more democratic with the way those bands were run. And you end up running around in circles because it's, do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? And if you do it as a question every time, then you have to wait for four people to get back to you, and then you don't do anything. Like, Zero Rights was an amazing band. Everybody in it was completely, you know, talented, and it's some of the best music that I think I've ever,
super,
you know,
good songs
put together.
Yeah.
But we played like maybe 15 shows in total of 2 years, and we put out a record and nothing ever happened from it, you know. And now we've kind of disbanded a little bit. Like, I don't know what the future is for that, but you know, it's, I think that had a lot to do with the not being a leader and delegating things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
It's,
I think we see it a little bit too in society at large too, with this like over democratization or whatever of everything, where everybody just feels like anything is potential at any given moment and they don't want to commit to anything. So no one wants to step forward and say like, this is the way it's got to be, because they don't want it. They, for good reasons, they don't want their friends or the people they care about to feel like they're being put in a position that they're not comfortable with. And those are all for good reasons, but then nothing gets done. Right. So it just becomes this like this paralysis by analysis situation or whatever, you know. And yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and also there's, you know, everybody has FOMO nowadays, where
what's
it's
that?
Like fear of missing out.
Okay.
So
FOMO. Yeah, yeah.
It's not a term I made up.
Okay, okay. I'm so outdated. I barely knew what ghosting was, but I know it. I know that one.
But everybody, I worked in social media for a couple years. So I got all these like stupid kid things. That's on fleek, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I feel like everybody nowadays has this like hard time committing to anything because something else might come along that's better.
Yep.
And the thing is, if you actually make your day-to-day better, then you don't have to worry about that other shit. Like, just commit to something and make it the best that you can and have fun doing it. Then you're just going to have fun all the time and you're going to do some good shit and you're actually going to make a difference. Once you just sit around dwelling on things, you're not going to get anything done.
Yeah, if you obsess over the things that could have been or should have been or the way you would have it if you could, yeah, nothing's getting done. Those are super wise words. And maybe that's why we're able to, you know, work with so many different people so often. I mean, it is challenging, but like, you gotta, it doesn't have to be like a dictatorial situation. Just because you're not cool with the endless democracy doesn't mean it has to be a dictatorship. And all torn up, we are extremely democratic, like way too much about fucking everything. But ultimately, at the end of the day, something's got to happen. So, you know, I'll step in a lot of times and be like, listen, y'all got 20 minutes to tell me if you are opposed to this. And otherwise, unless someone's seriously opposed, what's moving forward. And here's, you know, go ahead.
No, I was agreeing with that because if it is a dictatorship, nobody wants to be around you anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there's a difference between having a leader who's going to like say, this is what we want to do and then delegate the things versus when you're just asking everybody for their opinion and then going around in circles and then nothing gets done. So it's how you divvy up things.
To be fair, we're two potential dictators saying that we're not super happy with democracy. I mean, who knows who the other guys would feel about this situation. I definitely super heavy-handed. Like, we'll be on tour and all torn up, and you know, I love everyone in that band so much. They are probably my closest family, every one of them. And Soren especially is my brother who makes everything in my life possible. He's an amazing drummer and amazing human being. But on every tour, we have a blowout fucking nasty, like borderline coming to blows, punching argument at some point.
That's because he's your brother.
Yeah. And it's, you know, but it's like stressful situations and like it goes there every time. It's like not, it's like, okay, day four, here comes, you know. And then after that, we talk about like, dude, I'm sorry. And we're like, I'm sorry. I'm like, okay, I'm more sorry because it's mostly my fault. But it's like you're in those volatile, emotional, heavy relationships and, you know, things got to happen and you don't want to be disrespectful, but also you got to get shit done and things get ugly sometimes.
Yeah. And
I don't know if he'd call me a dictator, unfriendly dictator, but I think times he might.
No. I mean, at times I was definitely a dictator in the refuse resist world of things. And then, like I said, when I moved down here, I tried to take things from a different perspective because I could see where the negative parts of that were. And, but shit got done as well. So it, you know, it's hard to say like, okay, well, you give up all reins and things are going to go crazy. But, you know, I'm trying to find that balance. I haven't found it yet.
Totally the balance. Yeah, definitely the balance. You know, because you want also on the flip side of things getting done, nothing creative or beautiful or inspiring comes out from under a dictatorship.
No.
So things might get done, but they'll be stifled and tight and control, and they'll feel controlled. So there is this balance, and you want to lean toward the side of, like, you know, as actually my favorite leader of all time would say, and everyone else could disagree if they want to, but letting 100 flowers bloom. You know, you want to open up the opposition and the dissent and the disagreement because that's where the beautiful shit is, especially in punk. Yeah. That's the chaos. But you got to be, you know, you got to herd the cats as much as you got to let them free.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, that's the thing is like I've lost confidence for whatever reason. And that's where things start to fall apart. You know what I mean? It's because if you can't be that standing person and stand for everybody, then things are going to like, why would anybody listen to you type of thing. So, you know, it's something that I recognized and I take full responsibility for, you know, and that type of thing. Like, I definitely think, you know, at times it becomes a lot to have to, you know, put up with type of thing.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. No one's going to disagree with us there.
and particularly with, like, Zero Rights, because that's the most current situation. Like, I know that I was going through a lot of shit in the last, like, couple years, and I didn't leave it at home. You know what I mean? Like, I brought it into the band and everything. So, you know, that's where I know things can easily fall apart. It's like when you start to bring personal shit and, you know, project onto other things. You know, that's... Nobody deserves that shit either. So, you know, it's...
Well, I don't know about that, Sean. I think they all got to come into them. you know, I mean, the thing is, you're in this relationship that's bound to happen. And everyone should be aware when they sign up that that's going to happen. And then you need to have, like, systems in order to deal with it. Because people are going to be negative. They're going to have their shit they're going to bring. They're going to go to work. They're going to be pissed. They're going to come to practice. They're going to take it out on you. So it's like having that connection and that developing that camaraderie that you can work through those things is hard to do.
Yeah.
And frankly, in the trenches, it can be impossible. You know, this is why bands fail.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Refuse Resist, like we got to a point where we were, you know, pushing the shows and trying to do more of that kind of stuff. But then we ended up not writing anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So at a certain point, you're like, well, if we're not going to write and we're not going to grow, then it's kind of like, well, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And then I moved to New York, which made it really hard for, like, any kind of communication to happen, really, because I'm much more of an in-person person than, you know, it's no way we're going to, like, Skype a practice or anything.
Fuck that shit.
So, you know, that stuff, though, we all cleared up, and then we're like, wait a minute, we miss playing shows and we miss being together. Like, they are family. Like, there's no question about everybody in that band has a huge place in my heart, and they're like family. Yeah. So that's why we're doing, like, the 10-year anniversary, and that's why we've done a couple, you know, quote unquote reunion shows. You know, we're just a band that plays a couple shows a year now.
Yeah.
So because that relationship is something we all need. You know what I mean? Like, we realized that we weren't really feeling like complete without having that.
And that's where we should end this, because I feel like that, you know, we talked about marriage. We talked about your wonderful wife's analogy of this being like herding cats, but it really is. It's just family, and, you know, family can be difficult. So especially a family that constantly has to see each other and communicate endlessly.
Yeah,
good. Good luck with that, family motherfuckers.
We put the fun in dysfunctional, right?
But you can see this family in action October 15th in Boston at Midway. You're going to see Refuse Resist and a bunch of our other dysfunctional families on stage freaking out and getting down. And hopefully you bring your family and, introduce me
it's
to
you. It's all ages. You can bring your grandma,
bring
your
kids, dude.
And everything.
Yeah, let's picnic at the Midway. Yeah, let's do this. October 15th. Sean, thank you so much for getting down, dude. I appreciate the long travel you did to make this happen. Thank
you,
brother.
No problem. Thank you.
Get down. All right, let's take another break. And also playing on this October 15th show in Boston at the Midway is going to be Disaster Strikes. And we're going to listen to a tune off their newest album, which you can get on Alternative Tentacles, the great label from the West Coast. And, this is An Age of Corporate Personhood, and I know you love this album, Sean, especially since you put Disaster Strikes on your anniversary show.
Yeah.
But what song do you want to listen to off this album?
You Are Nothing.
Okay, I know that you're saying that about me, but I'm just like, I'll cut that out. But like, what song do you want to listen to instead of putting me down? Let's listen to this song.
You're Nothing.
Oh, fuck. We'll just play whatever song then. Get down.
Nothing to match of the bombs.
right, that's the end of the episode. I want to say thank you very much to Sean Refuse again. Thank you very much for coming out here and doing the show. I know you've been doing a lot of traveling because you just moved to Strong Island, and then you're also going back to Boston all the time to fucking play some Wicked Hardcore. And you know, you're not even necessarily doing it in a car.
Nah, we only got one car between the two of us, so we gotta, you know, take the public transportation, dude.
I never get sick of it. I love it. Everybody from Boston just tuned out, but that's fine. That's fine. You all know the show's happening anyway, so it's fine. Thank you so much for having All Torn Up play your anniversary show, too. It's a super huge honor for us, so super glad to do it. Plus, the lineup is amazing. I'm just glad I can go to the show.
Yeah, I'm super psyched to just be at the show. Like, you know, playing it's just a bonus because these are some of my favorite bands right now.
It's gonna be a fucking really good show. I'm not
and All Torn Up's pretty good too.
Yeah, we tag along. We're gonna be the problem makers for that one, but it's all right. You gotta have one bunch. So thank you so much. We said throughout the episode places you can check out Refuse Resist or Sean's other bands. You can always holler at us on Facebook if you did not write those down, or you can rewind the episode, you lazy piece of shit, and just fucking see what we said before.
Those sliders are really hard, though. You know, you gotta go left and right.
Yeah, if you're streaming,
it's like Tinder for music.
Fuck. No, because it'd be sliding left was you like them, and sliding right is you hated it.
I'm dyslexic. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. I'm not even sure. I've never used Tinder, really, so I'm not sure. Just hear references.
More of a Grindr guy.
For sure, dude. And grind that shit out, man. Grind it out. Is that coffee app or we'll talk about
sure,
it later.
Sure.
Yeah.
Leaves a bitter taste in your mouth.
Yeah, it leaves something in your mouth for sure. That's definitely gonna happen. There's gonna be deposits made. All right, there's tons of places for you guys can go here, Refuse Resist. Just make sure you download the Grindr app and just look for Refuse Resist. Sean Refuse right on the front of that page. You'll be no problem finding it. Thank you to Liz Red for letting your husband come and do the show with me. Much appreciated. And thank you to everybody who listens in every single week for making Dispatches something special. I really appreciate everyone tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe. Go to dispatchfromtheunderground.com, hit the subscribe button, and you get a new episode every 2 weeks when we post it without ever having to worry about when the next one's coming at you. And if you're in a position to be leaving a donation, super helpful because we do have a bunch of costs that associate with the show, and we would appreciate it. NPR is not cutting us in on their deal yet, so we're waiting for our big NPR deal to come through. It's probably not fucking coming, so we just need your pledges and assistance. But we'll see you October 15th in Boston, and a couple of the shows that are happening in the near future. October 6th, Sean's birthday. We will not be
big
celebrating
40.
His birthday, but we will be having All Torn Up will be playing at the Swamp in Brooklyn. We'll be playing with Mal Criados, and we'll be playing with Los Bungalitos from Boston, actually. So it's we're bringing it all together. It's going to be a really great show, so make sure you come out to that. And it's only $6, so you're never going to beat that Brooklyn price. And I think beers are basically free. Yeah, I don't know how they work that, but it's basically losing money on the show. And we're playing October 14th in Albany at Pauly's Hotel, so you guys can come out to that, too. Well, hopefully you dig all that and dug the rest of the episode. And again, Sean, thank you so much, bro.
Yeah, thank you.
Get down. When we were getting ready to record this, I told Sean to send me a bunch of songs from Refuse Resist and also Done With You and Zero Rights. And he's like, no, you just figure out what you want to do. And I'm like, all right, listen, whatever. I'm definitely going to play a Zero Rights tune. So can we play a Zero Rights song? He's like, sure. And he says the two songs that he wants me to play. And I'm like, okay, what I meant was I really want to play Run and Hide. Is that cool? Is that what that's what
and
I really
meant? Said, sure.
So here is...
I wanted Shut Down or Zero Rights, but you know, Run and Hide's a good one.
It's a great fucking song. I love this tune.
It's got layers.
It's layers and like an onion, but it doesn't make you cry. It makes you smile. What's a happy onion? Like a lime. It's like a lime, really.
Yeah, that makes you do the little pucker face.
Yes, exactly. This one's a pucker you up. Here's Zero Rights. Run and Hide. Get down.
Take a look around you. Satisfied with what you see. Along in the soft defeated. What do you want it to be? You ruined your life. Well, that's on you. Reflected in everything that you do. You wanna take it, power lies inside.
look in the mirror. The truth has just begun.
You ruined your life, well that's on you.
We're going to close this episode off with another band that's playing the October 15th show with All Torn Up, Cry Havoc, Disaster Strikes, and Refuse Resist. Here is Neighborhood Shit from Boston, Massachusetts. They're holding it down. They're doing a lot of great stuff out there. Make sure if you go to Boston, if you're playing Boston, if you're visiting Boston, you check out what Original Locals are doing out there. And make sure if this band is playing that you catch them. Here is Neighborhood Shit from Boston. Get down.